just God. Nothing else matters. All right, so we got membership, we're family. We got a set of time where we can worship and praise God. The third thing was you get to become spiritually mature here, because you are become, hopefully, you are committed to becoming more and more like Jesus. You're around people who are more spiritually mature than you are in certain areas. You know, I may be more mature in some areas than you are. You may be more mature in certain areas than I am. But we can all glean from each other. We can all learn from each other. You know, you may go through things, and, you know, I may be going through that. But when I hear that, yeah, God brought me through this, you know, if you're giving your testimony and saying, yeah, God brought me through this, I can latch on to it and say, God did it for you, He's going to do it for me. Because He's no respecter of persons. And if God will for you, He is going to do it for me. It don't matter if I've been saved 30 years or whatever. I still can learn. We all can learn. We have to keep that attitude of learning. And that comes from being with each other. You know, iron sharpens iron. We can glean from each other. So when you're coming to church and you're with other spiritually mature people, you know, we hear the Word of God being preached. You know, we're worshiping God together. We are with other like-minded people. It's going to inspire you. And it's going to equip you to go out and face what you have to face every week. It is. And the other reason we talked about was that it prepares you for your ministry. Because He's given everybody something. God has given each one of us a gift. My gift may not be like your gift. We might be, you know, we might both have a teaching gift, but the way I teach and the way you teach is totally different. Because He knew Becky was going to be Becky. And you may say, thank the Lord there's only one Becky, but He knew. You know, I created her and I have gifted her, and this is how I want her to be gifted. He gifted you differently. He gifted each one of us. And it's as He wants to give it, not as what you want to be. He gives it to you as He wills. He gives it to you as He wills. You know, you were not put on this earth just to use it up. You were put on this earth to give back, to give something back, you know. God has a ministry for you, and the best place to learn it is here. Is right here. You know, you may not be called to pastor a church or to do this or to do that. Not everybody can do that. When it talked about in this early church, it said that some were out, you know, doing this, and some were out doing that. Some were healing the sick. Some were performing miracles. There were other people back there that had to take care of the people that were there. You know, you got helps. You got administration, people who can organize things. People can do this. You know, people can cook. People can clean. People can, you know, take care of the grounds. People can do, you know, all kinds of things. And we talked about those things. And we talked, you know, it's limitless of what you can do. But there's also excuses. And we talked about some of those excuses. Like, you know, Moses said, I can't speak well. God said, fine, I'll send Aaron, but I'm going to tell it to you, and you got to tell it to Aaron. Because I'm not talking to Aaron. I'm talking to you. So you're going to have to go. You know, you can't get out of this. you're going to go. Then you might say, well, I'm too old. So was Abraham. Noah was old too when he started building that ark. Some of you may say, well, I'm just a widow. Or, you know, my husband died, my wife died. Naomi was too. You have a lot of excuses. Lots of excuses. You may say, well, I turned my back on Jesus. Peter did too. Denied him three times. Paul was there holding the coats of the people who stoned Stephen. God still used them. God still used them. And he'll use you too. If you just say, here I am. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. Whether it's, you know, cleaning the floor, whether it's working in the yard, whether it's driving the van, whether it's cooking meals, whether, you know, it's taking care of the children, teaching the children, whatever it is you want me to do, Lord, here I am. Use me. But stop with your excuses. Stop with the excuses and just say, here I am. I'm ready. I'm tired of running. Give it to me. The fifth thing that we talked about was that it's kind of like your ministry, but it's not. It's your mission. And we all have the same mission, every last one of us. And that is to save, to seek out, and to save the lost. That's our mission. That's it. You know, that was Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission became the church's mission. And when you get saved, his mission becomes your mission. And you can accomplish that in different ways. You know, you might share your testimony with somebody. You might go out actually and, you know, minister to people, preach to people, get people healed, get people, you know. That might be your, you know, how you share the gospel. And if you can't do that, that's okay. You can say, hey, will you go to church with me? You can invite somebody. Just invite somebody. You know, I told y'all that the church started with 120, and then it grew to 3,000, then it grew to 5,000, and now look at us. You know, we all have the same mission, to go out, seek, and save the lost. So, you know, think about it this way. Is there going to be anybody in heaven because of you? Think about that. Will anybody be in heaven because of you? And you might say, no, I never gotten anybody saved. Did you ever invite anybody to church? Did you ever pray for somebody in the middle of the night? You don't know who it is, but you go, Lord, I don't know why, but you're just, you know, urging me to pray. Have you ever done that? You don't know who is in heaven because you took time, one, to pray, or you might have just invited somebody to church. You never know. It could be the way you're living your life in front of people. And they could be going, oh, I know they're going through stuff, but look at them. They're happy. Why is it they can go through this and this and this? I know they're going through this. But yet they're happy. You know, they're always encouraging other people when I know they need encouraging themselves. How is it they do that? But the thing is, you got to remember that church, Word of Life, is not something you just attend. is not a place where you go just because you have to. It's not a place you go to check it off your list. Oh, I went to church this Sunday. I can check that off. It's not a place where you can come and think you're going to earn brownie points with God. God knows your heart. He knows why you're here. He knows if you're here just because I got to. He knows that. So you can't, you know, like go, oh, well, I'm just getting my brownie points. Or, you know, when I go to church, you know, that's the place where I can, you know, network. You know, so-and-so goes here and so-and-so goes here and so-and-so, so I can network it. God knows why you're here. So you can't, you know, play God. He can't be played. You can play people, but you can't play God. It'll never happen. So church is not just something that you just attend. It is something that you are. You are the church. You are family. It is why you are here. You were made. You were created to be a member of this family. You were created to worship God and to praise Him. You were created to grow up and be mature in His image. Because I told you before, you can be 100 years old and still not be mature. You might be mature in the world's eye, but you could still be a baby in God's eye. So we need to grow up spiritually. And it's not dependent on how old you are or how long you've even been saved. You can be saved for 95 years and still be spiritually immature. So it's not an age thing. It's not how long you've been saved thing. It's about becoming more like Him. That is what being spiritually mature. You're also created to find out and come to Word of Life to find out what your ministry is. Don't let that word scare you. Ministry. You're like, oh, I got to go up and preach the Word. No, that's not it. Like I told you, some people cook, some people clean, some people, you know, play an instrument, some people can sing. Some people teach, some people take care of children, some people work in the yard, some people drive the van, some people go pick up people, you know. It's what you do. But whatever you do it for the glory of God. Whatever it may be, you do it to honor Him. You know, if you're driving a van, you say, I'm going to drive this van, and the whole while I'm doing it, I'm honoring God. Whatever it may be. You know, when the people step onto this van, they're going to feel the anointing of God. Because it's going to be, you know, in this van the whole time. I'm going to be encouraging these people. So even while you're driving the van, you are ministering to people. You do everything to honor Him. And don't let it be like, oh, well, this is just a minor thing. Nobody cares. No. You do it to glorify God, whatever it may be. You glorify Him with it. Nothing is a minor gift when God gives it to you. Nothing. God gave it to you. God placed something within you. That's not minor. That is nothing. You know, you don't consider that nothing. God placed something in you. Just for you. That nobody else can do like you can do it. Nobody. And He saw fit to give it to you. that should make you feel, you know, I got this gift and God gave it to me. And nobody else can do it like me. And God knew that and He gave it to me. He gave it to me. So I'm not going to just set it aside and push it aside. I'm going to glorify Him with it. And when I clean this toilet or whatever I have to do, it's going to sparkle. It's going to sparkle. If I have to sweep this floor, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. When I vacuum, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. When I keep those babies, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. And I'm going to pray over them, and I'm going to ask God to come in and just take hold of their lives and let them live a life that's going to glorify Him. So don't think your job is minor, because it's not. God gave it to you. And also, we're supposed to be seeking out the lost and bringing them to know Him. And like I said, you might not be able to go out and place your hands on people, and you know, you might say, that's just not me. You know, but you can pray for people. You can invite them to church. And you just think about, is somebody going to be in heaven because of me? Is somebody in heaven, when you get there, is somebody going to run up to you and say, I thank you. Because of you, I'm here. Because the Word of God tells us some plant, some water, but God's going to get all the glory for it. So you may just plant a seed in somebody. And then, you know what? They may move away. And then somebody else comes along and waters that seed. And waters that seed. And waters that seed. And they come to know Jesus. But it's because you first planted that seed. You never know. You never know. You know, and sometimes, here's the thing, sometimes God leads people to a church. I know there's people here that come to Word of Life saying, God led me here. I was just riding down the road and God said, pull in here, and this is where I pulled in, and that's how I'm here. But most of the time, people have to be invited. Most of the time. And Jesus knew about the power of an invitation, asking people to come. You know, when John the Baptist was, you know, baptizing, and he looked up and he saw Jesus coming, and he said, and he had some of his disciples with him, John the Baptist did, and he looked up and he said, behold, the Son of God. And two of his disciples just got up and left. And they came after Jesus and they said, where are you going? Where are you going? And Jesus said, come and see. Come and see for yourself. And they went with him. Just those words, come and see for yourself, changed their lives completely. Completely. Turned them completely around. I want us to go to John 1, and you'll see. John 1. John 1. And we're going to go to verse 35. And this is about John the Baptist. And we're going to read probably down to verse 41, 42, 43, somewhere in there. But we're going to start at verse 35. And this is the NIV. And it says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? In other words, you know, where are you going? Jesus said, come and you will see. So they went and they saw where he was staying and spent that day with him, and it was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Here's a mission. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we have found the Messiah. That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee, for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And Philip did. Simple invitation. Follow me. And it changed their lives forever. They were never going to be the same again. Never. Set them on a completely different course. And so when you invite someone to church, and it might not even be a formal church setting, maybe you invite them to an outreach. Maybe you invite them to a men's meeting. Maybe you invite them to a ladies' meeting or a couples meeting. Whatever it is, maybe you even invite them out, you know, to eat, or maybe you invite them to your house for dinner. I would probably invite somebody out to eat because, you know, I'm not cooking. So, you know, take them out. You know, especially if it's somebody who doesn't know Jesus, especially. Or maybe they have walked away from Jesus. You don't know. You know, but it has the power to do the exact same thing. Change their life forever. It has that power. You know, I grew up, this is my story. I grew up in a little country Baptist church. Very country. Okay, you know, very country. Now, I'm very thankful for my upbringing. Very thankful. You know, my mama and daddy had me in church every single Sunday, every single Wednesday night. You remember when you used to have week-long revivals? Every single revival, we had one in the summer and one in the fall. I was there every time. And it didn't matter how long it lasted, you were going. Every vacation Bible school, I was there. And usually they had them in the mornings, which I hated. Because it was summertime and I was supposed to be free. But, you know. But time went on. I veered way away. Okay. I went down the wrong path, many wrong paths. I got hooked on drugs. I got hooked on alcohol. I got divorced, which was a big no-no in the country church I grew up in. Big. You don't get divorced. You get divorced, you're like shunned, you know. Then, I was dating oh my goodness, you know. Now I'm married to him. Been married to him. Almost 30 years now. We keep trucking on, you know. But I was not welcome at some places. And I was not welcome because I was white. But Janice Sanders, who's moved away, invited me not to Word of Life Church, but invited me to a gathering that we had at Robert Small's. I can't even remember if it was Christmas or whatever it was, but she invited me there. And I said, okay, I'll go with you. Changed my life. Okay? Going to Robert Small's, I remember walking in, and Pastor James and Miss Catherine was there, standing in the, you know, way leading into the cafeteria. Very first question I asked her, do you let white people come? Will you accept me because I'm white? First question. Because I have been to places. Been to white churches, been to black churches. They didn't want me. They didn't want me. And they made it very evident they didn't want me. I mean, you know when you're not wanted. You know. And that was the first question out my mouth to Miss Catherine. Do you let white people come to your church? Because I'm not going to waste my time if you don't, you know. I'll just turn around and walk right out the door. It didn't bother me, you know. I'm like, look, I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. I've been divorced. It's no skin off of me if I have to turn around and walk out, because, you know. But she said, of course. Why wouldn't we? That. Janice inviting me, and the fact that Miss Catherine accepted me, changed my life forever. When I walked in there, I was loved. People didn't look at me because I was white. They didn't look at me because I was this, that, the other. I mean, I had on a little short-tailed dress. I remember what I had on. I had blonde hair. Get up. I weighed maybe 100 pounds. Little skinny little thing. But it changed me. I don't weigh 100 pounds anymore, and I sure don't have blonde hair. But that invitation changed my life. Changed me. So you don't know what just inviting somebody to an outreach, a little get together. It was just, I think it was like y'all had singing and food. That's all I remember. It might have been a Christmas thing. I don't know. I can't remember what it was. Was it Christmas? I don't know. You know, but that changed me. It placed that seed. Now, did I come the next Sunday to church? No. But that seed was in me. It started to grow. And when I got married to Melvin, Melvin's like, let's go to his family church. I said, we're going to Word of Life. We're going to Word of Life. That's where we're going. We never did make it to Melvin's church. Hadn't been there yet, except for a funeral. Pastor James grabbed him in the middle of the aisle and asked him, are you saved? Are you born again? Melvin said, I walked away from God. And Pastor James said, I can bring you right back to where he is. He's still waiting. He's still waiting. And right in the middle of that little storefront church, in the middle of the aisle, we gave our lives back to the Lord. One simple invitation is all it takes. It's all it takes. So you can go out and ask people to come to church. You don't have to preach to them. You don't have to do this to them. You don't have to, you know, lay hands on them, have them fall out in the street. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is say, will you come to church with me? Will you go to that meeting with me? Will you go to men's breakfast with me? Will you go to the couples meeting with me? That's all you got to say. That's it. That's it. And it will change their life forever. Forever. One simple question. Will you go with me? Changed. And here we are, 30 years later, still hanging, still right here at Word of Life. 30 years later. One question. That's all it takes. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the reasons people are going to give you about, no, I can't go. I can't go. I can't go. And I'm going to tell you some things you can tell them. Go, oh, really? Well, let me ask you this. All right. Father God, we just thank you for your word going forth here today. We thank you, Father God.